Amen and amen. Well, I did something that I never do. I never in all of my days have ever called D.A., Pastor Dennis, and asked him if I could come preach. I did this time because I have a word that I wanted to share with you guys. So I will ask you, if you would, to turn with me in your Bibles to the very first chapter of Haggai. That is in the Old Testament. Haggai. I'm going to pray as you're turning to Haggai. Now listen to me. It's not sacrilegious for you to keep turning while I'm praying. I promise you, God's big enough to hear me pray while you're turning. Amen. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do tonight. I am honored to simply get to share your word. I pray, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to flood this place. I pray, Father, that you would break down every man-made tradition and destroy it. That, Father, it has no right to trump relationship whatsoever. Father, I pray tonight for a hunger in your people, for more of a holy and a sovereign God, not the religious God they've been taught about, but Father, the holy and sovereign universe breathing God. Let you be a reality to them tonight. I pray, Father, that you would move and touch hearts and lives. I pray for families in this place that are walking through very difficult times. I pray tonight, Father, that your Holy Spirit will lead them, guide them, and direct them to the path of success for them and their family. Now, Father, we honor you and we praise you in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen? Amen. Haggai chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. I want you to listen carefully to how this is worded. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now let's stop here for just a second. Is there anybody in this place that doesn't understand that sentence? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do you know how many people today, follow me for just a second, hear me. I want you to hear my heart. I don't want you to hear my words. Do you know how many people today have absolutely corrupted the word of God because they think that God needs help saying what he plainly said? Tonight, what I'm going to share with you, there's no way it can possibly be gray. There's no way that it can possibly be obscure. What we're going to talk about tonight, it plainly says that this is what God said. Now, I don't know a lot, but I know if I have in my life the things that which God has spoken, my family will be better off. My body will be better off. My finances will be better off. My sleep will be better off. How many of you in this place understand that when we give God his rightful place, everything else gets in order? Amen? Husbands, can I ask you a question? Have you ever got real busy and absolutely made your wife second on the totem pole at your casa and come in and said, "Hey, baby, how are you?" And have you ever noticed a cold demeanor about that loving bride? Why? I mean, after all, you're doing everything you can to make a living. After all, you're doing all that you can to provide. After all, you're doing the things that you've been taught that you were to do. I submit to you today, it's just like our relationship with God the Father. So many times we get in this idea about what we've told that we've got to do. Honey, if you'll just simply love God with everything that you have, everything else will line out. You ain't got to work so he will love you more. You can't work to make God love you anymore. It's an impossibility. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. I want you to know that where we're at in this particular piece of scripture, where the Lord's Spirit, where His power had resided, it was in ruins. And here's what I know about God. If you'll read this book, if you will read His Word from the very beginning in Genesis all the way to the end in Revelations. Again, I'm no theologian, but there is a constant theme. God desiring to be close to you. And isn't it amazing that in this particular piece of Scripture, the Lord Almighty says, these people are telling me it's not time for my house to be built. I think we'll find out why it wasn't time. How many of you guys have ever made excuses before? Raise your hand. Don't lie. I heard a saying one time that excuses are like rear ends. We've all got them and they all stink. You hear me? If you're religious in this place and that offends you, I apologize. But that's what excuses, they absolutely are a stench unto God's nostrils. I promise you, if you've been fixing to do something for God for a long time, you're behind the eight ball, honey. Until you quit fixing to do it and you begin to get up and go to it, I promise you, you will never find success in the kingdom. Here's the other thing you need to hear tonight. So many people want to wait to do something for God until they're sure that they know everything. Honey, if you wait till you know everything, you're going to miss what God called you to do. God's been using people to learn on the fly since time began. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say that the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. And verse 3, it gets a little interesting and said, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in a ruin? You see what we find here, and I pray that you're listening to me tonight, because in America today, we've got to get this message. We've got to hear this, because this is what we're telling every week. You say, what? I went to church. It ain't good enough. Are you listening to me? If you think God just wants you to go to church, you've lost your ever-loving mind. Hear me. That's not what, it's a great thing to do, and I'm tickled pink and I want every church full. But if the enemy can ever get you thinking that that is your spiritual walk, you going to church on Sunday, you lose. Are you following me? Because then listen, if you're here tonight and you're disagreeing with me, I promise you if you'll read the scripture, you'll find out I'm 100% correct. You see, when we begin to believe that because I went to church and because I did this and I did that, I'm in correct order with God and everything's okay, I promise you what comes about. Complacency comes about. We become lethargic. And we all of a sudden become callous, because anytime we are not spending, listen to me, if you've ever seen farm ground that hasn't have a plow run over it for a long time, I don't care how good the farm ground is, it gets hard and weeds grow up in it. You see, when we just go to church on Sunday and we tell God, I made time for you, aren't you so proud of me? I think God literally looks down and goes, I gave my only son and you want to give me church on Sunday? You see, in America today, we've been lulled to sleep because we think we're a Christian country because we go to church on Sunday. And the whole time, God's saying, you put money in the offering and the church buildings are getting bigger, but my real house is laying in ruins. The people that I look at, they have absolutely no maturity, no foundation, no stability. The majority of people that go to church today can't even tell you why they believe what they believe. Amen. But they got one more beautiful church that they go to on Sunday. And they're really building God's house every time they put something in that offering. And we're even going to build a youth outreach center. And man, ain't we doing good. I mean, look at what's happening. We're expanding the campus. Can I ask you a question today? When's the last time you allowed God to expand on the inside of your campus? Well, Brother A, you see, I am up in my years, and I believe that everything that I was going to give God, I've already given Him. Honey, if you're breathing oxygen, there's still some more for you to give. Do you understand what I'm telling you? God desires every portion of you, and I'll promise you this. Now listen carefully to me. Y'all know I'm not the typical preacher, and I say things sometimes that maybe I shouldn't, but I can't help it. It's the way I feel. We're never gonna see the kingdom built sitting on our butts. I believe we'll see the kingdom built when we fall to our knees and we begin to repent and we begin to give God those things for which we've been hanging on to for a long time. When we give God those things that we've elevated to a position in our life that they're not worthy of. Tell me what's worthy of being above the King. I think you would agree with me in this house tonight that nothing is worth being above the King. Since you agree with me, and I'm glad that you agree with me because I believe I'm correct, I will ask you, when's the last time you sat and evaluated where your time is spent? Because please, in this house today, don't tell me that He is the first thing, that He's number one in your life. However, if your time is written down, if you had to put in a timesheet for the time that you've given to the kingdom, for the time that you've just set and let God, you know, see, sometimes letting God have stuff is you not doing nothing. Sometimes it's just meditating and letting His Holy Spirit move in you and through you and around you and about you. I promise you, if we're not careful, we get so busy when we leave church. Man, I mean, we get a shot in the arm, and oh man, I got some Holy Ghost goosebumps this Sunday, and oh, when they sang that song, I just thought to myself, oh honey, that is so good, and nobody even noticed, but my right hand come up just like this, and I almost had it all the way up. I gave a lot to God today. And so when we leave, we have this thought in our mind, that's good enough. I was taught in life, I get sometimes my wife, she'll mash on me a little bit because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. I believe that if you're going to do something, I believe you do it with everything that you have. I think if you're playing checkers, I think you ought to try to beat the pants off of whoever you're playing checkers with. And if it's your kids, they have no right to beat you until you get old and dementia to where you can't play anymore. You should never let your kid beat you just so he'll feel better. You ought to be pushing yourself. You hearing me? And in the kingdom today, I carry that same mentality with me. I don't want to be complacent. And I don't want God to look at me and ask me, why is my house not built? Why is it that you think it's okay that your house, the brick's never been put up on it spiritually? Why is it that you have never allowed the electricity to be hooked up to the pole? Why is it that you've left my house undone just because it's livable? Hear me. I need you to hear what I just said. Just because it's livable and we can get by. Folks, I don't want just enough Jesus to get by. I don't want just enough Holy Spirit to get by. I want to be the overflow Imagine with me here at Open Range Fellowship if every one of you began to be reservoirs of the Holy Spirit, and you were so full that absolutely the news kept breaking out going, another levee was breached and it poured out on everybody that was around them. We would infect everyone in our lives with the Holy Spirit, but I would imagine if we'll take a look at our lives, I would imagine we'll find out that we're flowing other things into them rather than the Holy Spirit, because we're filling our reservoir with something other than Him. Not a real popular message, huh? Some of you are going to call DA and say, don't let him back. Verse 5, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Y'all notice that it said that again? You reckon he's trying to tell us something? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Hello? When's the last time you truly gave careful thought to your words? Or when, let me ask you this, rather than giving careful thought to your words, how many of you have ever had this statement come out of your mouth? Well, that's just who I am. They're just going to have to like it or leave it. I just don't care. That's the way I was raised. So that means we're just going to do it our way? Hello? Help me. Man, I'm just wondering here, because when I hear that come out of people's mouths, I know what they mean, because I come from the country and I was raised to tell them that's who I am. But I want you to know that when Jesus, they'll hear me, look at me. When Jesus came into my life, he said, behold, all things are brand new. Do you understand? I am not who I used to be. Therefore, I cannot let it come out of my mouth, because that's not who I am anymore. He said, give careful thoughts to your ways. How long has it been since you literally sat down and honestly sought God about some things in your life instead of going, oh, I'm getting by. It's okay. I mean, I'm a good guy. I'm a good girl. I've done pretty good in life. What if God wants more for you? What if the worship that you think that you know is good enough? What if God wanted something that would blow your mind and then you called it worship, to where you absolutely moved into the very presence of God and people began to get healed, all because you just simply laid everything down and truly began to worship Him? I wonder what would happen if we gave careful thoughts to our ways about what we allowed into our thought life. Any of y'all ever struggled with thoughts before? Listen, if you've ever driven through Dallas, you've struggled with your thoughts. Give careful thought to your ways is what the Lord says. Let's read on. Give careful thought to your ways. It says in verse 6, you have planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have you fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Does that sound like the church as we know it today? Let me help you, because I travel all across the United States of America. I'm a big old fat nobody, but I get to go a lot of places. Let me tell you, that is exactly what we're seeing today. Do you know how many people walk up to me and go, oh, now listen to me, I don't mean to sound insensitive, but I want to make a disclaimer. I'm insensitive. I'm insensitive to stupidity. You hear me? I'm sorry if that offends you, but I have absolutely no compassion for stupid people because they know they're being stupid and they want me to feel bad for a choice that they made? Absolutely not, Margaret. Survey says, wrong answer. I go to churches and this is what I hear. Oh, Brother Ray, would you please help me? Is there any way that your ministry could write me a check? And because, Brother Ray, we can't pay our light bill. Really? Because I saw you on Facebook the other night, and it looked to me like unless somebody else was paying the tab, it looked to me like you had plenty of money to party. Now follow me. The mentality, listen to me, the mentality that we have today in the church, and when I say the church, I'm talking about the people, not a building, is God owes me something. Let me tell you something. Here's what God owed you. God owed you the breath of life that He gave you, and He willingly gave it to you. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and He set a choice before us. What we do with that breath of life, honey, it is up to us. We can live in mediocrity. We can live in anger. We can live in division. We can live in jealousy. We can live wherever we want to. That's a cool thing about God, but God will always look back at you and say, give careful thought to your ways, because your ways are directly correlated to the blessing that God can pour into you. Hello? Now, I know that ain't popular. If you say, oh God, oh God, oh God, three times, God ought to do something amazing. Or if you post a blessing on Facebook, God's going to send you money. I know it all works, I'm sure. No, let me tell you what works. Sacrificing your flesh and letting God be God will work every time. Give careful thoughts to your ways. The body of Christ today is at a place where we have everything that we want, and we've given God just enough to get by. I wonder what would happen if we all just came together. Said, you know what? I've had enough. Hear me. I can't live in my fancy house anymore and watch God's house be in ruin. I can't have all these things that my flesh has just been wanting and living with this. I mean, I have no peace on the inside. I'm ready to give everything up and follow Him. Can you imagine what would happen if the church today literally got to the place that said, I have decided to follow Jesus. But let me tell you what would happen. Nowadays, it would have hashtag, if I have enough money, if I can eat, if I have certain clothes, if it doesn't cost me this, if it doesn't cost me that. Folks, when we sign up to follow Him, it is just that. Follow Him in good and bad. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. If we're only going to serve God when everything's working good, let me tell you in this place today, I want you to know we're not going to be serving God very long, because we're all going to have days that absolutely just don't look like the sun shining. We're going to have days that look like hurricanes have come through. But in those days that the hurricane came through, you will understand the reason for holding on to Him, because He's the shelter and He's the fortress. He's what will get your family through. You fathers that are in this place today, thank God for the mamas that have led our families. Thank God for the mamas that have got kids up and went to church. But ma'am, I love you with all of my heart. It ain't your job. Daddies, if we want to change this world, it's going to begin with us. We're going to begin to lead our families, not just with leaving. Listen to me. Leave your kids an inheritance of millions and leave them with nothing spiritually, and you've left them bankrupt. Leave them with Jesus and an example of Jesus. And no money, and your babies are going to be fine for all eternity. This is a promise. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm done.